Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is his bride. We see this very clearly laid out in Ephesians. We see this wedding happen at the crucifixion of Jesus as he sheds his blood for his bride, as he washes her, presents her spotless and clean by his own blood, gives her that wedding garment poured out for her. The church has had men lead her according to God's holy will. Now, some of those men took evil turns, desiring their own wealth, their own station, as opposed to what God had actually given. And eventually, the bishop that presided over Rome would do just that. He would take his own power, and instead of focusing on the authority given by God, he took more and more and more until he excommunicated the other bishops who disagreed that he should have more power than them. But before that time, there was a bishop of Rome named Gregory the Great. And he is a man remembered by even our Lutheran church on this very day. Gregory rose up the line quite quickly, and he even spoke about those from Britain, calling those Angles as beautiful as the face of angels. Gregory set the Mass, the divine service, in a much more orderly fashion. And we get that word Gregorian chant as we remember him. It was Gregory that actually added the Lord's Prayer to the divine service, to the Mass for Rome. It had been used in many different areas, but we would almost not be able to fathom a divine service without it today. This is a good thing, because it's our Lord's words as he blesses us. Gregory was considered one of the four doctors of the church, living from 540 to 604. The other three are names that hopefully sound familiar to you. There is Ambrose, who has given us one of the most beautiful hymns in our hymnody for Advent, Savior of the Nations Come. Saint Augustine, the one by whom the monastery would be founded, that Martin Luther himself would follow in the footsteps of, and Saint Jerome, the translator of Scripture, the one who put the text into a common tongue of Latin that the church used for over 1,000 years. One of these four doctors, teachers of the faith. And we thank God for him. We thank God for the pastors, the ones that he has raised up that taught us the faith, the ones that equipped and assisted fathers and mothers to teach the faith handed down generation after generation. Some of those men were married and had families of their own, and some of those men God had given the spiritual gift of celibacy to. That is an actual gift. And if that is a gift granted to someone from God, then he or she is to live out his life in service to Christ Church. But for the rest of us, the majority of us, this is not a spiritual gift that has been given. So we give thanks to God for those who have received that gift. But we also give thanks to God for the gift of holy matrimony, a gift given even before the fall into sin, in the garden itself, where God recognized that it was not good that the man should be alone, but that he would make a help meet for him. And so he caused Adam to be put asleep and took from his side and formed the woman and breathed life into her. Adam received her as his wife, given by God, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she has come from man. Isha, Ish. It is a beautiful thing that God has made man and he has made woman. In the beginning, God created them. Male and female created he them. God has created. God has made you in his image, after his likeness. And while the fall into sin skews this a bit in our understanding, he has bought us back. He has shed his blood for us. The Son has taken on our flesh upon our sins. Jesus is the bridegroom, the church is the bride, and in this we see an example of how husbands and wives are to be with each other. The wife is to submit as the church is to submit to Christ, and Christ leads her faithfully. He does not join himself to anyone else, but he loves her completely. St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes in his first letter to the Corinthians, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh." God has created marriage as a one flesh union for man and a woman for life. And it's a beautiful gift. It is his gift. He defines it. He grants it. When we are ill-content or discontent with the things that God has given us, we instead turn to the words and the lies of the devil. If my wife doesn't make me happy exactly the way I want her to every single day, well, by golly, maybe I should find a woman who would. And we do the same vice versa. Women see their husbands as men who don't fully attend to what they're saying. That happens, right, ladies? Where it doesn't seem like your husband's really paying attention to what you're saying. And quite honestly, there are definitely chances that he wasn't really paying attention. And that is a cause not for you to leave him, not for you to walk away from him, but a cause for him to repent. Speak to him what you need. You rightfully need him to listen to you, to be attentive to your words. We need to do a better job of also guarding our hearts and our eyes from the woman or from the man who is not our spouse. Sexual immorality are sins against the body. We do not join ourselves to harlotry. We do not seek after that which God has not given. In the bonds of holy matrimony, my wife is my wife until either she or I die. My eyes are not to be looking longingly after another woman. They are not to seek out companionship from another woman. They are to be content with what God has given me. And again, vice versa for the wife. When we recognize this, we see God's order in our lives. And when we submit to God's order, your life will typically go a little bit better. God has laid down what he has created, and it is actually for our benefit, for our good, and for the good of our neighbor. Do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? That your body was purchased? That you body and soul were purchased by Jesus Christ? Gregory had used words of Jesus, showing that he was not just a spirit, but that he had flesh and blood to counter a theological argument. You are not just a spirit. You are not just a soul. You are a soul and a body. And at times you may not like what you look at in the mirror, but you are a body and you are a soul that Jesus loves. Recognize that your fulfillment comes not in the outer appearance, but rather in the appearance of Christ shedding his blood for you. Your garment is a beautiful garment. It is the white robe of baptism. We are reminded of that white robe when we watch as the casket, as we watch as a funeral pall goes over that casket, showing that the person that's body is laying there is only temporary. That body was purchased by the blood of Christ, that it was redeemed in his blood. So, dear Christian, be content. Be thankful for what the Lord has given you. Give glory to God for this, and spurn not his gifts. Look not to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Do not come with discontent, which will eventually lead down the straits of hell. Rather, rejoice. Give thanks. Jesus has done it all for you. You are a part of his bride, the church. Thanks be to God for that. The church sings, "Unless you build it, Father, the house is built in vain. Unless you, Savior, bless it, the joy will turn to pain. But nothing breaks the union of hearts in you made one. The love your spirit hallows is endless love begun." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.